Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, would you bless now our time together? I pray that your spirit will teach us. And Lord, would we know that we have heard from your word. I pray you'll just empower what's done here today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We are going to, it's been a couple of weeks here, and we will jump back into our study of loving the Lord our God with all of our mind. And we've looked at many different angles of things that we fear, things that we think, all kinds of wrong thoughts boggle us up and make us ineffective. And we looked at the wrong view of the future, scared about that, or the wrong view of what's happened in the past or what's going on in the present. And today we're going to look at the matter of taking every thought captive. And let's go first to our theme verse, and that is Philippians 4:8, if you'll turn there with me. And this is a good verse to memorize, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, the emphasis here is being given in this chapter is think on these things is a command. It's an imperative. Meditate on these things. Think on them. We are to make the decision to force ourselves to, by God's grace, think on the right things, which means that we are making the decision to not think on the wrong things. And so it does make quite a difference. And I know for my own study of the scripture, sometimes there are issues that they seem like great principles and it's great what the Lord gives us. But then when it hits you, now wait a second, that was a command. That was an imperative. For instance, the matter rejoice always, and again I say rejoice, that's a command. That's not a suggestion. That's not a good principle. Certainly a great thing to do. That's a command, which means I have to make the choice to do it. And that it's a sin if I don't do it. I spoke Sunday night. One aspect of Sunday night was the fact that joy should be abounding, and it is the great banner of a Christian that's walking with God. And if we're not joyful, then we are not walking with God. I mean, it's a very real issue. Now, it doesn't mean that our emotions are all in great shape. We may be going through a difficult time, but there is joy in our heart, and it's radiating in our life because it's a supernatural reality, and that is because we made a choice to surrender to God and depend upon Him. And so here we have this command to meditate, think on these things. Now, this, let me just stop right here. We have to make a choice to not think on certain things if we're going to think on these things. Do you realize how much we have that comes into our lives forcibly that causes us to think on wrong things? You know, in years past, when you didn't have a television or a radio, and it was a very unique thing to even have a periodical or a newspaper, it was a little different world. And you could choose the right books, and your whole life was a different world. But now, if we're not careful with our technology, certainly with TV viewing, oh, don't get me off on that, but do not let that be your babysitter, okay? Do not just default go to entertainment, because you're going to be thinking on wrong things, disobeying this commandment to think on right things. But there's just all kind of stuff on the internet. There's all kind of stuff that you just have coming at you in every direction. So to think on these things, you've got to not think on other things, which means you've got to make choices in your life to eliminate that coming at you all the time. You've heard me say many times, if you've heard me speak on television, we used to speak on that more than we do now, just simply because that was the only venue that we had for technological input into our lives. But I would often say that there is an aura when you've watched something that is hard to break for quite a while. And that those thoughts are going through your mind. Sit down and try to have devotions after you watch a popular program. You're not going to do a very good job of it unless you really deal with things. But it's hard to overcome that. And so we need to realize that for us to be thinking on wholesome, good, just, lovely things, to be really in control of our mind by the grace of God, we have to follow the Lord's leadership in not listening to, watching, reading wrong things. By the way, even listening to people who are saying wrong things, that can really impact you. You know, one of the best habits you can get in life is once somebody starts to get negative, just say, stop. I really don't think I need to hear that. Now, if they're trying to counsel with you and wanting to be helped, you have to determine whether it's appropriate or not, and you're the person to do that. But I tell you, an awful lot of pain would go away if we would just say, oops, no, I'm not part of the problem. I'm not part of the solution. I really don't need to hear that. I'm glad to help you, pray for you, but you need to go to the right person and so forth. So all of these things, so you can see, to think, to obey the commandment, you've got to be aware of the fact that you've got to, as Ephesians 5 talks about, not to even speak of those things which are done in secret. Not to even allow those things in your life. It has to be a very studied approach to what you do with the time in your life. But if we can see that not meditating, not thinking on the right things is a sin, that's a good motivator. You go out and look at your, just look at what you have thought about over the last hour and ask yourself, does that fit into the category here of true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, full of virtue? Is that what my mind was dwelling on? Is God pleased with my thoughts? Our minds are powerful things. And if not, then you got to ask the Lord, please forgive me. Listen, one of the most dangerous things you can do is to let your mind go into neutral. Neutral equals flesh in any aspect of your life. We willfully surrender to the Spirit, and He enables us in all of these categories to please God and to do what we ought to do. But when, you know, we just sort of think sometimes, it's just nice not to, you know, whatever. You just sort of go into a vegetative state, you know, or just go into neutral. In fact, a lot of times it's an escape state. You ever notice if you're dealing with a heart issue and what do? Grab your phone, grab the first thing to read. And sometimes it's good to have restful times, but a lot of times it's coping mechanisms. And I'm telling you, when you put your mind in neutral and you're not purposeful with your thought process, you are in danger of the flesh. And I'll tell you what the danger about the flesh is. Certainly it's corrupt, but who can work on your flesh? Satan. Did you know when the Spirit of God's in control of you, Satan cannot manipulate you? But when you allow yourself just to go into neutral and do what you feel like doing and take care of yourself rather than really willfully joyfully serving the Lord, you are wide open for the wiles of the devil. And Christians can really be fooled. Christians can get way, way off. So the first thing here is recognizing that this is a command. Well, how do we respond to this command? And we are directed here to a passage that you've heard preached by Dr. Jim a number of times, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And this is a tremendous help. And I do want to encourage you to listen to Dr. Jim, his beginning meetings at the beginning of this ministry year in September were a tremendous blessing. His victory conference messages, his messages at the recent The Generation, you can go online and get those. I'm telling you, just you know, listen to three or four of those. Especially he does one on the he did it at the Generation. What's his title? It's it's talking about along with our coping, the things that come out of that. And it's very, very helpful. But let me just look at this here for you. Beginning in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, the context here, ladies, and this is a little different than the emphasis here in the book, but the context is that Paul was being attacked unjustly. But he said, I'm not going to war in the flesh, because the weapons of our warfare are not human. They are mighty through God. And what he's saying here is that when we trust the Lord, that God will bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And let me just say this, that sometimes Satan will try to get you by having some unjust things happen to you. And don't fight back. Pray. Be a good Christian. And a person who is a Christian that may be thinking the wrong saying the wrong thing, do you think God can deal with them? The Holy Spirit's there. I've seen it happen over and over and over. I don't want to war fleshly. I don't need to do that. That can go from your own marriage into your children, into any relationship you have, especially with believers. And he was saying, God's going to make this clear to people. And God will, I can just tell you that. But let's take it now in the personal way of bringing every thought captive. And I want you to note that casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. The idea high things, the imaginations, the arguments, the thought processes that are in our mind. Here it's speaking about others, but it's the same for us. Because our greatest enemy is who? Well, it's right here, us, okay? Our own thinking. And so God will bring into captivity the wrong thought process. For instance, wrong fears about the future, or not accepting God's forgiveness and all about the past, and on the things that we've talked about. He is able to bring into captivity, in other words, enable you to obey, meditate on these things. Now, here's the thing that we have to understand, and that is that our mind is programmed with all of our past thoughts. If you notice that, things just pop up. It's quite a computer. And even neurosurgeons and neurologists will tell you they only know just a small bit about the brain. Even the greatest of the computers of our day, which are scary as you're looking at them, trying to make them into, you know, with the intelligence, artificial intelligence, it still doesn't even begin to get a fraction close to what the human mind is like. And you say, well, Pastor, you know, I have certain things cause me to think about things, and you know, and I got this habit, and man, sometimes I just get so introspective, I'm down on myself, and you know, and I just go wear myself out with my thinking. Well, that's because you have roads in your mind of electrical impulses that have gone down that pathway on a number of occasions. And so habits of thought have been made, fears, wrong thinking, reactions, hurts, coping mechanisms, all kinds of things, wrong desires to cope. It's all there. But you know, the great thing about it is, if God commands us to meditate on these things, if God tells us that every thought can be brought into captivity, that means that God is greater than the roads, let's say, or the channels that are in our mind. He can redirect those and retrain those fairly quickly. Ladies, the problem that you have is that when you're not in the Spirit, you go down the wrong road, because it's already there, right? By the way, don't try to find yourself and figure yourself out. It's a very discouraging process. You know, I've had people say, oh, I've been this last week just trying to figure myself out and find myself. I said, well, if you find yourself, you're really going to be disillusioned. It's really not very pretty. Our hearts are deceitful. It's really discouraging. I mean, it's amazing He saved us, right? Now, haven't every lady in here, haven't you sat down for a while and gotten yourself in a big pit? I mean, oh, woe is me, and da 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 da, and you're just going down and down and down and down. Yes? Well, I know, but that's where you go. You just sort of, you slide down. It's like on Stone Mountain there in Georgia. You've heard us give, they have fences up now. They didn't used to have them, because it's a gradual decline on that big rock. It's way up there, thousands of feet high. But you go to a certain point and you can't go back. And you don't know where that line is. It's very, very, it's a scary thing. I've looked at that and thought, man, I can imagine what it was like before they had fences up here, how scary that would be. But for us, if you just go into that default position of just sort of thinking, and you're not really thinking on the Lord, and you're trying to handle things in your mind without really having that awareness of His presence, you start walking on that rock and you're going down, all of a sudden, shoom, you just find yourself going down pathways. In fact, ladies, what happens is, if you go for a couple of days not walking with God, you'll start going down pathways that you went down 10 years ago. They're grown over now by the grace of God, and they're not the channel that you normally go, but they're still there. But God can redirect you. Ever had that happen? By the way, let me say this. This is sort of not a side issue. It really fits with this. When you're sleeping or going to sleep, or you wake up or you're napping, all of a sudden you have a weird thought that you haven't thought for a long time. Don't worry about it. That's just your mind. In fact, your mind with dreams and so forth, it's a cleansing process. And it's amazing. They don't fully understand how that works, but your mind begins to, the redirecting that you're giving, it's quite a study. But my point is this: don't take yourself seriously. Don't take a dream seriously. Don't take some of those thoughts. You say, oh, it's terrible, I had that thought. No, wait a second. You just went back, just say, no, that's not who I am. Here I am, and go on. Do not keep thinking about anything. Meditate on the right things. Do not meditate on the bad things. Everybody hear me? Okay. I've had some ladies and men have a bad dream, and they meditate on that, and they crashed. Now, come on. We have enough trouble with reality. Don't let your dreams get you. Okay. Those are just old pathways that you had, and your mind sometimes can get it. Have you ever had all of a sudden a dream and you're propelled back to your childhood? Some of those you sort of hate to wake up on, because it's so sweet, you know, and there's mom, dad, you know, the whole time when you were a kid. But a lot of times it's just funny. It's all weird, but it'll be a thought that you haven't thought. So don't fall for that, okay? And so that's just... That was free. That wasn't part of the discussion here, but it does actually fit. We are to bring into captivity. Who brings into captivity every thought? The mighty Spirit of God. He is God. He is holy. He thinks right. He's absolutely got his act together. He understands us. He loves us. He has the right perspective on every part of our life. So the key, you know, we talk about the Spirit-filled life. Ladies, that's not a compartmental, nice little, one little part of your life. It is your life. Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have got to understand the only way you're going to meditate on these things is to allow the Spirit of God to make the Word of God real, to encourage you. I mean, He causes you to think about things you think, that's amazing, I thought about that. And gives you wisdom and direction, especially if you'll take an extended time to pray every morning. All of a sudden, your life becomes exciting because you have a whole new thought process. You have a divine thought process. So that's why I'm saying, don't just go into neutral, danger zone. Everybody hear that? If nothing else from this talk this morning is, don't let your mind go into neutral. And isn't that the normal thing we do? And so ask God to enable you to figure out. That's why you need good sayings around. That's why you ought to have a book on your nightstand, a book by your chair that you sit down. You know, sometimes you just need a 10-minute break. Well, have a godly book right there. Read another chapter. Maybe you have one of those devotional books where you have a thought for each day. Have some of those things around and take 5 minutes and you read something that's just thrilling, you know, for your soul, and man, you're in better shape than ever. But if you sat there and just sort of, you can easily start getting discouraged or under pressure, anxiety, get upset, and that's where you can get into trouble. Let me say too, this is from the physiological standpoint, do endeavor. Your thought process will be much better if you will exercise every day. And especially if you can get outside and walk with the sun. Now, those are proven things. And that's a great time to pray. I realize the sun is being less and less available. And I realize it's not as much fun to walk. But you know, I walked this morning for an hour, you know, 30 degrees isn't bad. It really isn't. In fact, in February, that'll be a warming trend. I mean, you will just think, man, that is great. I don't even need a coat for this, you know. So it's all perspective. But you know, a brisk walk in the cold, especially if the sun is out, can honestly help you. Now, we depend upon the Spirit of God, but you know, we are human beings and how we feel does affect how we think. So take care of yourself. Another one, and it sounds like my wife here, drink water, drink water, drink water. Not necessarily caffeine. All of you got your coffee here, so, coffee's fine, caffeine. But you know, a good bottle of water, big glass of water when you're a little bit fatigued will do you better than caffeine, because you won't have the letdown later. And you'll be amazed. You put all that together, you will think much better. Yes, Betsy.
I was just thinking about a lot of people were sitting around with coronavirus watching the news. The news will depress you in 5 seconds.
Yeah, well, see, that's the other side of think on these things. Don't think on these things. I can tell you who's been watching the news and who is not by the fear factors that they have. And it's really the truth. I can just see it. And there, by the news about what's going on, and by the way, we need to rejoice about good things. I mean, honestly, wasn't it a miracle that a new justice was put onto the Supreme Court? You know, these are miracles right in the midst of a pretty bad deal going on these days. And so we need to, but we just don't need to. I agree with you. All right, let me just quickly wrap this up here. Reaping the benefits. When we do meditate, when we see that this is a command from God, we'll have greater love for God as we think on what He has done for us. The more you think on the right things, the more you're going to be encouraged. You'll have exceeding joy from pleasing God through obedience. Man, you go through some hours and you have read the right things and meditated on the right things and got to the right things and not watched or thought about things that are depressing. You'll just know that you've obeyed God. There'll be a positive well-being from living the way God wants you to live. And I like this next one. Your relationships with others will be a whole lot better. You know, you're a little hard to get along with when you're not thinking right. Now, you're blaming the other person, but the other person's only responding to this grouch, you know, that they're with, all right? But if you're thinking spiritual thoughts and encouraged, do you think that affects somebody else? Absolutely. Less stress, that's a pretty good deal. More peace in our daily lives. And accelerated spiritual growth, because the more you are thinking about the things of the Lord, the more you are letting the Spirit of God work, you're getting new understanding of truth, you're putting pieces together, you're in the will of God, you're seeing God answer prayer, you're living in a life of a miraculous perspective. It is just great. And then she takes some time here, which I think is tremendous. You will have energy for God's purposes and not wear yourself out on all of your problems. You know, when you're filled with anxiety and you got fears and you're not thinking right and you're down in the dumps and you've gotten down in the pit, you don't have much energy, do you? No, you're not motivated to serve the Lord. But I'm telling you, when you've started the day right, and even if you've had some hard things, you keep saying, I'm not going there. Lord, help me. You yield. You read the right things. You think about the right things. You allow yourself to listen to the right kind of music. Well, that's important, by the way. That'll help you have a right walk with God. And that kind of thing, you will find that you have a whole new energy to serve the Lord. And you will have strength for today's issues. There's so many things that God wants you to do. But if you're the crisis, can you help somebody else in crisis? In other words, if you're just going through it and knocking yourself down or all frustrated or reacting in a relationship or thinking things you shouldn't be thinking about or whatever, I'm telling you, you're missing out on God's full list of things that He has divine appointments for you to accomplish. You know, folks, every day can be a day that's really purposeful, exciting, and productive. And to be able to look back and say, that's really amazing. There ought to be a real sense of contentment at night, ladies, when you go to sleep, that I saw God work today. He used me today. It may have just been a simple word, a simple call, or learning something that you know is going to help you the next day. But you look through the day and God led there, God led there, God led there, and I didn't just waste all my time down in my own misery. And instead, I was excited about the things of God, and I've seen God work. Man, that's a great feeling to know I have walked in God's will. So think on these things. And she finishes out by a section that you can look at is that you'll just love God even more. Because the more He helps you, the more you love Him. The more you see Him, the more you love Him. The more He works in your life, the more you love Him. So now, you realize that this isn't complicated. It's your decision. And you need to go down deep in your soul and say, this is a command from God and it's sin not to follow it. And I am going to really follow the Lord here. So some good things to talk about. Encourage one another on maybe little habits of life that God's helped you to break the circuit of wrong thinking.